We are getting pretty close to Rosh Hashanah. It's another 2 weeks or so. And Rosh Hashanah, as we know, is the Yom HaDin. And a lot hangs in the balance. I have the feeling that at the moment so much is hanging in the balance that it's different in a way to any other Rosh Hashanah in any other year. I don't know so much, but at least the way I'm Teufis, what's happening, which isn't, of course, a very encompassing Tfisa. I don't really know very much about anything. But what got me sort of worried and wondering was that I heard on the radio the other day that Kelly, I think his name is, the Secretary of State, that he told Netanyahu, said that you should know that if the peace talks, which we're starting now, if they are not going to be successful, so you should know that Israel will be left without a single friend anywhere in the world. That everybody is going to blame you, and you will not be left with a single friend in the world. Now, he doesn't know about a very choshev friend that we have, the Ribbono Shel Olam, but the fact is that that is a sort of a scary picture, and the scary picture becomes scary the more so because we have the nevuah of Gog and Magog in Yechezkel when he talks about this ultimate milchama of Gog Melech Magog. So there's a stress the whole time that it's going to be a universal army, an army made up of many different nations. In the past years, I've quoted this a couple of times, but it's been a long time, many years ago, that we've talked about it. I'll just read to you a couple of psukim. Vayidva Hashem elai lema ben adam, sim panecho el gog eretz hamogog, nesi roish meshach v'suval v'hinovei olav. Say a nevuah about this gog. V'omato koyama Hashem elokim, Hineni elecho gog nesi roish meshach v'suval, v'shoi vavticha. I'm going to get you moving. V'shoi v'nosati chachim b'lchoyecho, and I'll put the bit in your cheek. In other words, I'll be able to direct you where you have to go. V'yitzesi oscho v'eskol cheilecho. I'm going to take you out and all your armies, susim uforoshem, Levushe Michlal Kulam, Kohal Rav, Tzina Umogen, Tovse Charovas Kulam. And you want to know who's going to be involved? Poras, Kush, Ufut, Itam, Kulam, Mogen, Vachova, Gomer, Vacholakapera, Beis Toigamo, Yakase Tzofan, Veskol Akapov, Amim, Rabim, Itach. There are going to be many nations with you. Hikain v'hochein l'cho ato v'cholko lecho hanikolim olecho v'yisa lohem l'mishmo. You're going to be the one who makes a single army from all these various nations. Miyomim rabim tipoked v'acharis hashonim tovo. You're going to come el eretz meshoveves mecherev. This pasuk is such a scary pasuk. It describes Eretz Yisrael, like yesterday's or today's headlines in the paper. Eretz Meshoveves Mechorev. It's a land which has outlasted many wars. Mekubetzes Me'amim Rabim. It has people in it who are gathered together from all kinds of nations. Al Hore Yisrael. Asher Hoyu L'cho. They'll come to the Hore Yisrael, who used to be completely destroyed before the Yidden came back to Eretz Yisrael. And the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, they came to her from many different nations. And they're living in Eretz Yisrael, they don't want any tzoros from anybody. But you, with all these nations, Koyma Hashem Elokim v'hoye b'yom ahu yalu dvorim al levovecho v'choshavto machashev ezro v'omato el el eretz perozos. I'm going to take my armies up against this open country. Ovo hashoketim, I'll come upon the people who live in peace in their own country. Yoshvi lovetach kulam, yoshvim be'en choymo v'viach losaim en lohem. What protection do they have? And you know why I'm going to come? Lishlol sholol v'lovos baz, lehoshiv yotcho al chagovos no shovos. I'm going to bring my weapons against people which live in a country which used to be always desolate and which now is noshav. Vel am mu'usof migoyim, and against the people who are gathered from all kinds of other nations. Vel am mu'usof migoyim, osa mitno v'kinyon, yoshval tabu horetz, and so on and so forth. So, it sounds so familiar. The Eretz Yisrael, which lay for centuries, chorev, nothing doing, nothing happened, nothing growing, nothing anything. And finally, Yidden came back in one way or another, and suddenly we have the land blossoming, and the people are from all over the world, and they are going to be attacked by an army consisting of practically the whole of humankind. Very, very scary concept. That's the Rebbeinu Shalom, Baruch Hashem, and we can be samech on the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the Rebbeinu Shalom will know what is best for us. But the way the description runs over here is a scary, scary story. What's going on over here? Like, why is all this important? Why is now going on a situation in which it's very, 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 almost word for word, the kind of situation which Yechezkel prophesies for Gog and Magog? And that is what Mr. Kelly said, that you're going to have the whole world against you. You're going to have the whole world against you. What is this of having the whole world against us? And what I want to talk about a little tonight is that this is, I haven't talked about before, I don't think, but I've been oisig in it now very much because it's nageya to a book which I'm trying to write on Sefer Shemois. And agav that, if you want to know pshat in Sefer Shemois and the Golus Mitzrayim and the Yeshua, Gulas Mitzrayim, you have to understand who Yidden are. What is Klal Yisrael all about? That Klal Yisrael went into Golos, and Klal Yisrael is going to go out of Golos, just like we went out of Mitzrayim. So one of those parshias, which are very, very, very ki'ilu prophetic, that they contain all the emes, really, if we read it correctly, if we read it in such a way that we try to know what we are saying, then it's very, 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 like, real. This parsha, which I'm thinking about now, is the parsha of the fight which Yaakov Avinu had with the Ish. And I want to read a couple of the psukim and see what it says over here. So this is in Vayishlach, the beginnings. So the parsha of the fight really starts over here in Perek Lamed Beis, Posuk Chof Hei. Vayivoseh Yaakov levado, and Yaakov remained alone. Now, what exactly does that mean? How is that an introduction to the story of the Ish coming along and having this fight? Now, is it just like, all right, he was alone. If there would have been other people there, they would have helped him. But here, there was nobody around to help. That's not the way the Torah is written. Every word is, of course, an oilomole. Now, what does it mean, Vayivosa Yaakov levadoi? No, so we have to understand what Chazal do with it. And I'll read you the Medrash. Ein Koel Yeshurun. Pasuk says, Ein Koel Yeshurun. And the Medrash makes from that, Ein Koel, there's really nobody like Hashem, but Umi Koel, there is somebody who is like Hashem. And you know who that is? Yeshurun, Yisroel Saba. He is like Hashem. In what way is Yisroel Saba, the Zeder Yaakov? In what way is he like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Kesiv Be V'Niskov Hashem Levado Af Yaakov V'Yevose Yaakov Levado. That's a chazal which is so unbelievable that you would just can't even dare to say a word about it. Just read it and wonder. That V'Yevose Yaakov Levado means that Yaakov remained totally alone, in the same way that Rabbeinu Shem describes himself as V'Niskov Hashem Levado. Now, what's the comparison? What's going on over here? So, in order to get the story a little straight, we're not going to be able to go into too many details anyway, because there's so much there. But let's try and cover what we can cover. And that is that, what is this business of Vayivose Yaakov Levado? Now, the pasuk before reads like this. I'm reading now from Vayishlach, that Vatavoy HaMincho Alponov, he had prepared his servants to take the Mincho to Esav, but that's only going to come later, that he actually meets up with Esav. But in the meantime, the Mincho is ready. And that night he slept in the encampment, which was to the east of the Yabok River, outside Eretz Yisrael. Vayokom balayla hu, Yaakov got up that night. Vayikach es shetei noshov ves shetei shefrosov ves achat oso yeladov. Vayavor es mava Yabok. He took his wife and children, his wives and children, and the shvachos. He took them across the crossing of Yabok and is now on the western side of the Yabok. Then, Vayikochem, Vayavirem Esanochal, he took them and he took them across the river. Vayaver Es Ashelo, and he took over that which was his. Now, what does that mean? We already learned that Vayikach es shtei noshov es shetei shefrosov, ves achad osa yelodov, vayavo es yama vayavok. So Vayikochem, vayavirem es hanochal, he had taken them. Vayaver es ashelo, and he also took across that which he owned. In other words, the baggage. Now, what does that mean, vayaver es ashelo? So, Chazal, Rashi's learns like that, he brings the Chazal. Everybody knows the story of the Pachim Ketanim, that Vayaver Zashalom means that after Yaakov had taken his wives and the Shvachas and the children across the Yabok, he went back to the east and then brought over the baggage. But that doesn't really make sense, because Vayivosei Yaakov Levado, suddenly he's alone on the east side. So why is he on the east side? He went over to take his wife and children over. So now he's in the west. Then he went back east and now goes back with the baggage. So he's weiter in the west. So how is he suddenly in the east alone? So what's going on? So that's what Chazal say, that he forgot the Pachim Ketanim. That means he, Taka, brought over the people. Then he brought over the baggage. And by all standards, he would have stayed there on the western part of the Yabok, and they would have been in Eretz Yisrael, or very, very close to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. So why is it Vayivose Yaakov Levado is together with his whole family? Teretz is, he must have gone back again. Now why did he go back again? So on that Chazal say that he went over for the Pachim Ketanim. That's what it means. And that's why he was alone over there. The Ramban says that that's not the pshuta shel mikra. The pshuta shel the Ramban is a little later, not here in the Pasha, but he says it later. It's not the pshuta shel mikra. He says the pshuta shel mikra is like this, that he went with the wives and children over to the western part of the Yabok. That happened. Then he went back to the east. But he never went back over. He never brought the baggage over to the west. You know what he did? Vayava es ha-shalom means he told the servants. He had servants, he had avodim, and he told the avodim, please do me a favor and take this baggage over to the western edge of the Yabok, and I'm going to stay here alone. And that is Vayivoseh Yaakov levado. That Yaakov remained levado, completely alone, no servants, no baggage, no pachim, no nothing. Emptiness, 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 and a lonesome person standing there, totally and utterly alone. Vayivoseh Yaakov levado, vayiovek ish imo, and an ish came and started wrestling with him. Now, now, the juxtaposition in the same posuk obviously maintains that the Vayivose Yaakov Levado and the Vayeovek Ishimo Adalos Hashochar, they belong together. In other words, I think the Pshuta Shel Mikra is Megale that the Vayeovek Ishimo Adalois HaShocha follows from the Vayivose Yaakov Levada. And it's unlikely that, like I said before, like he was alone, so nobody was helping him, so that's why he was able to attack him. I mean, the Torah doesn't tell Pratim like that. I think it means Vayivose Yaakov Levada, and because of that, a man wrestled with him. Now, what's happening? And what does it mean, Vayivose Yaakov Levada? Well, we already heard a Medrash, and we know a little bit more than stump through reading it. That Ein Koel Umi Koel Yeshurun Yisrael Saba, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Ksiv Be V'Niskaf Hashem Levada, Af Yaakov VaYivos HaYaakov Levada. What's going on over here? Why did Yaakov insist on being alone? Right, he's telling the servants, "You take the baggage. I'm staying here." What does it mean? I'm staying here. It means I'm staying here alone. That's what it means. Why was Yaakov interested in being alone? So I think, now it doesn't say this anywhere as far as I know, but just from the Midrashim and knowing a little bit what's going on, I think that a little bit we can work out what was happening over here. I think that Yaakov felt that at this moment, where he's about to cross the Yabok and take his family into Eretz Yisrael proper, and immediately, like the next Pasha, after the whole fight was over and so on and so forth, we have Yaakov coming to Shechem, which was Eretz Yisrael proper. It could be that the Yabok, the bank of the Yabok, was not yet actually Eretz Yisrael, but it was only a very, very short way from Eretz Yisrael. In other words, crossing the Yabok meant, in practical terms, I'm going to be arriving in Eretz Yisrael. So how did Yaakov want to arrive in Eretz Yisrael? What's going to be happening over here? What moment is this in his life? So I think that this was Mevoyom Padan Aram. It says when he came to Shechem, he's coming back from Golos. He was for 20 years in Golos. He had the tzoros with Esav, Ahin, and Aher, and now he's coming back. And he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. He knows that his Golos is now over. Now, he hasn't met yet with Esav. That comes a little later in the Pasha. But in the meantime, this is what he's doing. He and his family are entering Eretz Yisrael. I think that Yaakov, before he entered Eretz Yisrael, wanted to define himself to himself. He needed to be completely alone. And he had to be alone in the sense that he had nothing that belonged to him. No this and no that. All that had gone over with the Avodim. He was alone in the highest and biggest sense of aloneness that we can imagine. No, so What does that mean? Why did being alone over there signify to Yaakov that he had Ki'ilu arrived somewhere very, very significant? Well, we know the Medrash. Amar Rav Eisenu, Ba'oid kishehoyu Yaakov ve'Esav b'mei Imon, Omer Yaakov le'Esav, Esav ochi, Shnei achim anachnu le'ovino, u'shnei oilomos yesh lefoneinu, ho'olam hazeh ho'olam habo. Ha'olam hazeh, uish, it's such a nice place, yesh bo yachilu, shesiyo, masu matan, v'los es isho, l'holet bonim u'bonos. Ah, it's a great place. Avol ha'olam habo, ain't okay. B'chol ha'midas ha'lolo. So it sounds like a pretty boring place. V'imu ritzoncho, tul ato ha'olam hazeh, v'ani eto ha'olam habo. And that is what happened, that they made the slip split, and Esav has olam hazeh, and Yaakov has olam habo. And olam habo means that he's a ben olam habo. It doesn't belong in olam hazeh. We'll discuss that in a few moments. I think that is what Yaakov wanted to experience, that by divorcing himself, divorcing, I don't mean in the formal sense of a get, but separating himself from his family, separating himself from his property, and being totally and utterly alone, Yaakov was looking into himself and saying, okay, I know now who I am. I am a Ben Olam Habo, and it is as a Ben Olam Habo that I'm going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Ish comes along and fights him. And suddenly we don't have a problem anymore. Like, why were they fighting? What did he want from him? And what does it have to do with Yaakov being alone? It has to do with Yaakov being alone because it has to do with Yaakov defining himself as belonging to the Elyonim. He defines himself as belonging to the Elyonim. And the Ish, and I think that's why he's called Ish over here. Later on, in Shoftim, when the Malach comes to Shimshon's future mother and says, you're going to have a baby, the whole time, Malach Hashem, Malach Hashem, Malach Hashem, Malach Hashem, Malach Hashem. So a Malach who's sent to announce something to a human being is called a Malach Hashem. But over here, he's not a Malach Hashem, he's an Ish. And the rest is all pronoun. He, only once he's called Ish. Like, what's going on? The Teretz is, because he is coming as the Balabas of Olam Hazeh, I am Mr. Ish, and you are Mr. Elyonim. And that was the deal. So you don't belong here, and I'm going to throw you out of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to let you come into Eretz Yisrael. That was, in other words, the Posuk, if we read the Posuk correctly, and we read the Posuk like with a little bit of thought, so then it turns out that we know perfectly well why an Ish, meaning the Balabas of Olam Hazeh, is coming to deny him his going into Eretz Yisrael. I think that is the secret of this mysterious party, pasha, of Yaakov suddenly having this fight. And we all know the ending and so on. In a short shiur like tonight, we're not going to be able to do everything. But we are at a point now where I think that up to now, again, it may not be right what I said. I didn't see anywhere in a sefer or anywhere else that is why he wanted to remain alone, according to the Ramban. Because according to the Chazal, Bichlali didn't remain alone. He wasn't remaining alone. He just happened to need the Pachim Ketanim and he decided to come and get them. But according to the Ramban, that he sent the stuff with the Avodim, so it's obvious that he wanted to be alone. That he wanted to be alone. And the Malach understood that, the Ish understood that, and said, I'm not going to let it. So we have to come now to ask to Hashem. Now we know a little bit what's going on over here. There's a lot more going on, but we can't get it all into this year, but this sort of basic introduction to the sugya, I think, is very, very important. Now, the question is a very, very important question, and that is, So if you don't belong in Olam Hazeh, what are you doing in Olam Hazeh? Like, why are you taka down here? Why are we Yidden down here in Olam Hazeh? Very much so in Olam Hazeh. But the deal was that we would get Olam Haba, and yeah, and Esav would get Olam Hazeh. As a matter of fact, as I was thinking about it, I think that that is the pshat. I may have mentioned that in a different connection. I don't remember whether I mentioned it. But, you know, we have this Yesod. Gemara says in Ketzad Mevorchen, how do you know that you have to make Birchas HaNenen? Because also Lehanas Be'olim HaZeh B'loi Brocha. And if you do, you're like a gazlan. You're gazlan HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're gazlan Knesset Yisrael. No, so why doesn't the guy have to make a brocha? The guy is also not allowed to steal. Teretz says, because the guy is Mr. Esav, and Olam HaZeh was given to him, and that was the deal, so he doesn't have to do anything about being able to eat an apple. If he wants to eat an apple, he gets to eat the apple. No, nothing to pay, nothing to formalize. Aber Yid doesn't have Olam HaZeh. If he doesn't have Olam HaZeh, so he has to make a bracha. So why are we down here? If we don't belong here, why do we belong down here? Why do we belong down here? So there's a very, very important piece in the Pachat Yitzchak. And see, the shiur has been going on enough time not to be able to read this to you. I had been planning to read it to you. But Bekitzer, what Rav Hutner says over here, it's in Chanukah, Mama Yud Aleph, if you're interested, mostly on page Kuf Gimel. What he says, Bekitzer, is like this, that if you find, the moshel he gives, if you have a Talmud Chacham, and you have a Talmud Chacham, and he lives in a certain place, and there he's got his yeshiva, he's got his chaverim, he's got his rabbeim, tzamechaya. So that's where he is. And now suddenly you see him in a completely different place. No yeshivas, no nothing, now not even a minya, he's there. So what's he doing there? So the answer is, can only be one answer, that he went there to be mashpia on the people. Because as far as his own Torah is concerned, why should he go away from his mokam Torah? But if he knows that there are people over there, the children at risk, adults at risk, Yidden at risk, he comes there to be mashpia. When the Ribbono Shel Olam puts Yaakov Avinu and Yaakov Uvonov, Adas Yaakov Bincho Bechorecho, Eis Yaakov Ishu Vesobo, that Klal Yisrael is Yaakov's children, and Yaakov and therefore his children are Bnei Olam Haba. So what are they doing in Olam Hazeh? The answer is that they come to be Mashpia. And that is the Pshat in the Gemara, and Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Omud Beis, right at the bottom of the Omud, it says that Yaakov, when Yaakov came to Shechem, what did he do? Vayichan es Pnei Ha'ir. So he made tikkunim for them. He made tikkunim for them. One says he made a monetary system. One says that he made markets, malls. And one says he made bathhouses. He was mashpia. See, the Gemara says that the reason why he did something was because in gratitude for the nes that had happened to him. In gratitude for the nes that had happened to him, he figured he should do something nice. And therefore he made these three things. Or one of those three things. As I said in the Gemara, but the truth is that Avraham also had some nice things done to him. He was saved from the Kifshon HaEsh. Doesn't say anywhere that he built any bathhouses for anybody. Yeah, maybe he brought a carbon toider, but he sure didn't do anything that Yaakov did, or Yitzchak also. So what's going on over here? So I think that the pshat is like this, that is Yaakov's thinking. Yaakov's thinking was like this. Look, I came to recognize when I was still on the eastern bank of the Yabok who I am. Who am I? I'm from the Elyonim. I have nothing to do with this world. So what did the Ribbono Shel Olam send me down here into this world? Why did he send us down into this world? He sent us down. There can only be one reason. If in order to say a Shia, I have better Talmidim up in the Elyonim places. What am I supposed to be doing over here? The Torah is to be Mashpia. What do these people need? Oh, they need a monetary system. They need a Shvokim. They need a Mechotzois. That's what's going on in these Parshias. It's a Magad Gezach. Like, because it's just a matter of close reading. It's a matter of reading what it says in the Torah, what it says in Chazal, and you get a whole and complete picture, which is very, very, very significant and important for us. What has that got to do? So, look, there's really a lot of other stuff, maybe next week, or maybe we'll get back to some of the issues over here. It's a Mayurdika Sugya. But there's no time for that now. But getting back to the way we started this year, that we're getting to Rosh Hashanah, and a matzav is a very scary matzav. It really is a very scary matzav. It's terrible. Things are happening, people, goyim, are giving us warnings that if these talks don't succeed, you're going to be without any friend, any l'rabbis. Well, we can figure out what it's l'rabbis. And was it sein? Rabbi Shlom, maybe this is Gog and Magog. Who knows? But my shaila is like this, and that's why I want to stop with the shir, and just to give all of us a chance to think a little bit about what our function is on Rosh Hashanah. We're mispalel a lot on Rosh Hashanah for a good psak din, for yechidim, for the tzibur. There's a lot that is hanging in the balance. What I'm asking is this. I don't have an answer. I don't have a mahalach. I cannot say this and this is the right way because I don't know. But I want to put it to you and perhaps ask that you should think it over. And if you come up with something which you feel can help us in understanding what's going on, that would be a wonderful thing. What I think is like this. I've been in yeshivas for a long time. Mentioned already that I started off in Gateshead in 1946. That's a while back. So it's been quite a while. I've never in my life, in my yeshiva life, that means from 1946 till now, heard in yeshiva, you know, we should really be going out building some bathhouses for the people in whose midst we're living, to make life a little better for them. Maybe a shuk, maybe a monetary system. Is this something which the Rabban Sham may judge as not living up to the responsibilities? If we would learn from the Tate Yaakov and learn what somebody has to do whose metzias is a metzias of the Olamos HaElyonim, but who finds himself down here in the Olamos HaTachtonim, in the physical world. So what is he supposed to do? So it seems from what Chazal tell us that the minute he got into Eretz Yisrael, the first machshove he had was, let me be mezake. I don't know what my Zaydi Avraham did after he got out of the Kishon Eish. Maybe I do know, maybe I don't know. Yeah? But I know what I have to do. For me, it was paskant that I belong to the Elyonim. If for me, it was paskant that I am from the Elyonim, and now I'm in a position of having to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, what is an appropriate thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which I can give him? The answer is to be mashpia. And even though not mashpia now in the sense of teaching somebody Torah, but just goyim and awful goyim, a few there have a short while later, they killed them all out because of the evil that lodged in that city. But that wasn't Yaakov's business at the time. At the time it was, I've got people here who need something. I am here. I cannot imagine another reason why I would be here if not that I am coming to be mashpia, to come and help and do something which is useful. I've not been taught that in my years in yeshiva. If yes, it was only to Yidden to try and be Makarov. You know, Baruch Hashem, I mean, any yeshiva guy would be delighted to be able to be Makarov somebody and to explain some things to him and so on and so forth. But this was even to Goyim. What exactly Yaakov had any problems with Leisachonem when he built the Shvokim or he built the Mechatzos, I don't know exactly, the Halochadik Gedorim. But that is what Yaakov did. Yaakov said, if I'm here, that's my duty. Is it our duty? Is it something that we ought to give thought to? And if we don't have the cheshek to go into the inner city and start building mechatzos, yeah, what about other situations where Yiddish kinder never are in matzovim and so on and so forth? Like this pasha, now especially in the remaining days before Rosh Hashanah, I think it would be a good idea to at least think about these terms and see how the lessons which the Ribbono Shel Olam immortalized for us in the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaal Peh are mechayev us to act differently than, at least in past years, we have acted.